Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the word of the Lord. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Need your imagination today. We're going to set a little scenario. I want you to put yourself into it. But imagine that you have been falsely accused of a crime. Falsely accused. And yet the evidence is overwhelming. Perhaps it was just coincidence. Perhaps you're being framed. You don't know, but you've been accused of a crime, you've been arrested, and you find yourself standing before the judge. He reads over all the facts. You're not having a jury trial. It's just you and the judge. You plead your case. The facts are presented. The judge slams his gavel down and says, "You're guilty." And you're out of your mind. You're like, "How can this be? This is just impossible. I didn't do this." So you're put into jail. You're in this jail. There's all these other people around you. Family comes in to visit. Your lawyer comes in to visit. Says, I don't know what happened. A couple weeks later, you go back to the stand before the judge for the sentencing. And the judge says, "This is a heinous crime. And I sentence you to death." And then you put on death row. You're out of control. How could this happen? You don't see anybody. You don't hear from anybody. Your only companions are other death row inmates that you get to see 1 hour a day while you walk the yard. Food doesn't have any taste to it anymore. You don't care what's on TV. You don't want to read. You can't understand what's going on. You've been given a date for your execution. Why is this happening to me? There's nothing you can do about it. The guards aren't friendly. You cry yourself to sleep every night. Why bother taking a shower? Who cares? And you're miserable, full of despair and anger, frustrated. And the days go by, one after the other. You're into a routine, doing the same thing all the time, but there's absolutely no joy, no glimmer of hope. And the days keep on passing. The date of your execution draws near. And you begin to get this feeling in you, this heightened sense of frustration and fear, panic attacks. And you're screaming and you're crying out for help, but nobody's listening. And then one day, the guards come to your cell and they open up your door. And they say, "It's time." And your knees are weak. Stomach is churning. You are scared out of your mind. You get up to your feet and they help you. And you shuffle down the hallway, a long walk to the executioner's room. Oh, you are sick. You can't believe this is, it's like a nightmare. You just want to wake up and have it be all over. This can't be. And they reach for the executioner's door, and just as they're about to open it, a guard comes running down the hallway and says, "Wait a minute, wait a minute." And he's waving a paper. And he says, "This man's been pardoned by the governor." And you heard him say that. And the guard next to him reads the paper and he says, "Well, it's been a stay of execution. You've been pardoned. As soon as we get you cleaned up, you're free to go." And an hour or so later, you find yourself stepping out of the prison, out on the road, where the sun hits you in the face and you feel the wind in your hair. And you hear the doors close behind you. You're free. Just a couple of hours ago, they were going to execute you. And now you're free. And a car pulls up, a limousine, and out of it steps a man you know to be the governor. What do you say to that man? What do you say to that governor? Leprosy was a death sentence in Jesus' day, especially. It was a death sentence, no known cure. Lepers were ostracized. They were not allowed to be part of the community. They were considered unclean. Lepers were not allowed to go and mingle with society. They were not allowed to be with their family. They were not allowed to touch anybody. Nobody was allowed to touch them. The only people they could hang out with were other lepers. And there were leper colonies. See, even today, there's still leper colonies. But they hung out with other lepers, and they went about their way. And people would put out food for them, and they would have to come and get the food while the other people left. And anytime people would pass by, if they were anywhere near, they had to either ring a bell or carry a sign, but they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so people wouldn't go near them. Leprosy. Their skin drying up, cracking, falling off, the smell of rotting flesh, fingertips, noses, ears, lips falling off. Leprosy, slow, agonizing death. And that's what these 10 men had. They had leprosy and they only had each other to hang out with. Losing their hair, the eyesight is dimming, filthy, miserable lives, death staring them in the face. Now they hear about Jesus. They hear that there is one whom people are proclaiming to be the Messiah, the Savior. You've heard that he has performed miracles. You've heard that he's opened up the ears of the deaf, the eyes of the blind. He's made the lame to walk. He's even raised the dead, and he has healed lepers. And so you're standing there with 9 other people, all lepers. And you see a crowd of people coming down the road, and somebody says, "There's Jesus." And so you all look at each other and you say, "This is our chance. He can heal us if he wants to. He's done it to others." And so you cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." I wanted it loud. I didn't want to be cut off there. But you cry out. All your hope, your frustrations, your fear, "Please, please have pity on us." And Jesus looks over at you standing over there and he says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Well, you know that in order to be declared clean, in order to be allowed back into society, in order to be allowed to go see your family again, the first person you had to see was the priest. They had to declare you clean. Well, Jesus said to go show ourselves to the priest. I don't know. I've got leprosy. I stink. I'm rank. My clothes are falling apart. But they do what they're told, and all 10 of them turn and start walking toward the temple to see the priest. They took a step of faith, did what they were told. And as they took those steps, the rotten skin fell off. Ends of their fingers were back. Noses were healed. Ears were healed. Their flesh became like a newborn baby. And 9 of them said, I can't wait to get to my family. I can't wait to get back into society, to beat the marketplace, to mingle with other people, to hold my child. I can't wait. And boy, they hurried off. One of them stopped and said, I was going to die. I was a rotten leper. Body parts had fallen off of me, and now I'm healed. I'm healed because he had pity on me, because he loved me that much. And he had the power to heal me of something that was incurable. He saved me from death. Thank you. And he turns around and he runs back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. He throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. Jesus says, where's the other 9? Weren't there 10? Why is it just this one, this foreigner? Why is he the only one to come back and praise God? And he looks at the man and he says, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Well. Complete healing, not just physically, but his soul as well. Your faith has made you well. That man was thankful. It was having a heart of gratitude that gave him the faith. It was a heart of gratitude that made him well. Communion. Communion. We take communion today. This is what saves us. You see, we're all lepers. We've all got the leprosy of sin in our lives. And sin separates you from God, now and forevermore. Sin kills us. The wages of sin, it says in Romans, is death. But thanks be to God for what Jesus has done for us. Because of that, that blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, washes us as white as snow, takes away our sins because of what Jesus has done for us. And so we were all living in our own end times. We were all headed for the grave, for rottenness and decay, for eternal damnation because of sin in our lives. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute. I'll pay that price. You are free to go. Do you think we should be thankful? Do you think we should throw ourselves at Jesus' feet, praise God, and say thank you? I sure do. So when you come forward for communion today, come forward with a thankful, thankful heart, not for just what you have, but for what you will have. Because of communion, this world is no longer our home. We're headed for heaven for all eternity because we've been set free. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we do thank you, Lord. And we ask God that right now you fill us all with a truly heavenly repentant spirit for our sins and our sinful ways. God, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to forgive those who have sinned against us so that we may be forgiven by you. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. We repent of them in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves you, and so do I.